a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Today, we take a look at the final segment of the Book of Revelation. That would be chapters 15 to the end. This is sort of the crescendo of the whole thing. Let's jump right in because there's plenty of material to cover. Chapter 15 talks about the final seven plagues. We know they're the final ones because chapter 15, verse 1 says that I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And then it discusses in verse 2 how there will be a final victory over the beast, his image, his mark, and his number, the number of his name. So we know we're close to the end. We also have a description about the seven angels that come out of the temple having seven plagues. They're clothed in pure white, and there's a fascinating description about how dire and horrible these plagues are. Verse 8 says that while these plagues happen, no one can enter into the temple. Now, there's some who believe this is Latter-day Saint Temple. Of course, those are Latter-day Saints. There are some who believe that this is a rebuilt Jewish temple on the Dome of the Rock in Israel. There are others who believe this is a new Jewish temple built in some other place. There are a number of different ideas about what this means, but whatever temple it is, in the last days, people will not be able to enter into it during the time of these last horrible, great plagues. What plagues are those? Chapter 16 tells us. The first plague is, in verse 2, talks about noisome and grievous sore that comes upon men. And which men? Not all of them, but those who have the mark of the beast. So those who follow evil have a horrible sore. Second angel pours out a vial upon the sea. This isn't like the previous ones, where a third of those in the sea die. This says, verse 3, every living soul in the sea dies. Verse 4, the third angel pours out his vial upon the rivers, and they become as blood. The description of what happens as a result of this is not found here, but we know that it must be very, very dire. The fourth angel pours out, in verse 8, his vial upon the sun, and this makes the sun so hot that it scorches men with fire. The sun apparently becomes brighter and brighter for whatever reason. Verse 10 talks about the fifth angel, and he pours his vial upon the seat of the beast, meaning the place where the beast has his place of refuge, the place where the beast lives and sits and stays. And The sixth angel talks about the river Euphrates drying up and horrible things happening. Verses 13 through 16 talk about the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 16, great battle happens in place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. This Hebrew tongue phrase is a clear tip-off. This book was not written in Hebrew, otherwise you wouldn't say that. This was written in Greek. Armageddon is about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Chapter 17 talks about the seventh angel. He pours out his vial into the air, and there comes a great voice out of the temple of heaven saying, everything is done. Then you have thunders and earthquakes and great cities fall. Verse 19 says, all the nations, great cities in all the nations. And verse 20 says, in comparison with Revelation 6:14, which says there's a great earthquake and it impacts all the mountains and islands, this one's even greater. It says the mountains were not found and the islands fled away. The islands and mountains are gone. That's how dramatic all of this is. Then we get to chapter 17. Chapter 17 describes a horrible city, a city that has followed the devil. And this city is used as a metaphor. A woman who's drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Verse 8 talks about how those who follow her, those who are evil, will go into perdition. That's an ancient word, an early English word, that literally means waste. Something that is completely wasted, has no redeeming value, is something that is describable with the word perdition. And those who go to perdition, to the pit, their names are not in the book of life, according to verse 8. And then we start to have several keys about things. We have descriptions about the seven heads, meaning seven mountains, in verse 9, that there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is now, another is not yet come, and when he comes, he's only there for a short time. We have some descriptions about 10 horns, meaning future 10 kings, in verse 12. And then we have a description about how they're going to make war against Jesus when he comes. Chapter 18 is next, and it describes how the saints, those who are good, are called out of evil places, called out of Babylon, so that when Babylon falls, they do not fall with it. This all happens very quickly. Verse 8 of chapter 18 says that it will happen in one day. Death and mourning, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And then we have, this is fascinating, in chapter 18, starting in verse 11 and ending in verse 16, we have sort of a laundry list of all the things that the people of this time would have considered fancy things, items of trade. If we're talking about that today, you might say Rolls Royce, Ferrari, fancy cars, fancy houses, high-end electronics. Who knows what you would say? Back then, the descriptions are precious stones, purple, silk, scarlet, ivory, wood, marble, cinnamon, frankincense, wine, beasts, sheep, chariots, horses, slaves, and souls of men. Those are the valuable things of the day. And then we have in chapter 19 the actual second coming. The second coming describes Jesus as In verse 6, the Lord God Omnipotent, he's the Lord of Lords. He is here, and verse 11 talks about what happens when he arrives. And it describes Jesus as coming out of heaven on a white horse. And in verse 12, his eyes had flames of fire, meaning they're incredibly bright. He doesn't just have one crown on his head. He has many crowns, showing that he's above all the other kings. And then we have this fascinating description of Jesus and what he is wearing. And when we come back, we'll talk about Jesus' garb when the second coming happens. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
We return to Religion Today with Martin Tanner on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Today is our final segment in a series on the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 19. We're going to go to verse 13 in just a second. But before we do that, if you have a question or comment about this program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. And since we are approaching Christmas, I would invite you to consider, as a gift, a cruise on which I'll be your tour guide. It will be covering Book of Mormon lands next April. It's a princess cruise, a high-end cruise with wonderful food and a beautiful cruise ship. Departs from Florida, goes through the Panama Canal. We'll wind up in Los Angeles. In between, we'll see Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica. We'll see Guatemala. We'll see southern Mexico and a number of other places associated with Book of Mormon lands. And while we're on the cruise ship, approximately every other day, we'll have some video presentations on subjects you'll probably never really hear in detail any other place. What we know about our mother in heaven, where the Bible came from, how the books of the New Testament were assembled, various other things like that. We can even pick some topics. I've got dozens and dozens and dozens to choose from, so this can be tailor-made. If you want more information about this wonderful cruise, it's presented by Cruise Lady. Give them a call. Give Cruise Lady a call at 801-453-9444, 801-453-9444, or go on the internet to cruiselady.com, cruiselady.com. They'll provide you with all the facts and let you decide. All right, we're back to the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 19, in verse 13, where we read that Jesus, when he returns, will be clothed with a vestiture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Vestiture dipped in blood. He will be wearing red. Doctrine and Covenants, section 133, verse 48, describes him as wearing red. So does Isaiah chapter 63, verse 2. These are fascinating descriptions. Most artists can't quite make themselves depict Jesus as wearing red, but clearly, that's what all three of these verses, Doctrine and Covenants 133, Isaiah 63, and Revelation 19, verse 13, they all say that. Some depict him in a white outfit with a red sash around his waist, but that's not the description. Why is he coming that way? To show what he did, that he gave his blood for us. The armies in heaven follow him in verse 14. And verse 19, the beast and the kings of the earth gather to make war against him, but it doesn't turn out so well with them. They are finally and completely destroyed. And from there, in verse 20, we have the millennium described. There's an angel that comes from heaven, and he, verse 2, lays hold on the dragon and the devil, and he is bound 1,000 years with this great chain in his hand. That's why Latter-day Saints and many others believe that there will be peace during the millennium. Why? The devil and his followers will be bound. Then at the end of the 1,000 years, chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 3, tells us that the devil will be loosed a little season. The idea there is that there are some who will have been born or raised during the millennium, which will need that experience of being tempted because they need to learn from that. Following that experience, the first resurrection happens in verse 6. And then we have a final little skirmish at the end of the millennium, probably more than a little skirmish. Gog and Magog gather to battle. This would be following Satan, who's been loose for a little season. And then finally, the devil in verse 10 is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet already are. So things don't work out well for them. And then we have verses 12 and 13 of chapter 20. These verses are the reasons why Martin Luther and many evangelical Christians didn't like the book of Revelation and thought they shouldn't be in the New Testament. Why? Because it talks about the book of life, the books being opened, the book of life, and the dead being judged out of the things written in those books according to their works. According to their works. Meaning it's more than just accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You must try to be good and repent of your sins as well. That's the message of chapter 20, verses 12 and 13. And then we get to verse 21, which I absolutely love. This is just absolutely beautiful. It talks about the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven. And verse 4, all those who have reason to mourn or to cry. I think of this when I think of my daughter who passed away, my mom who's gone, grandparents, other loved ones who've passed on. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Close quote. Verse 7 says that those who overcome inherit everything, just as God was given everything by his Father. Those who are good Christians will inherit everything from Jesus. Then in chapter 21, we have some beautiful descriptions about this New Jerusalem. This is an amazing city. Verse 17 says it has a wall that's 144 cubits. If you do the math, that's about 258 feet high. Very, very high wall. That's a very high wall. And if you do the math on how big the city itself is, verses 16 and 17 say that the length is the same as the breadth. It's as wide as it is deep, and it's as high as it is wide. It's a square. And it's really big. As a matter of fact, it's 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide and 1,500 miles high. The city has the dimensions of about the distance from here to Chicago. And what does that mean? That means it's so big, everybody can get in. Those would have been enormous descriptions back then, just as they are now. Everyone who wants to go to the kingdom of God has a place there. Beautiful descriptions. And then we get to chapter 22, which talks about the time being at hand when God and Christ dwell on the earth. And then we have this often misunderstood statement in verses 18 and 19 about not tinkering with the words of this book. Well, this book isn't the whole New Testament. This book is the book of Revelation. How do we know that? There are a number of books that were written after the book of Revelation, like 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So there you have it. The book of Revelation, a spectacular book. Join me again next week. Have a wonderful Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.